Greetings in the name of Jesus. This is Bishop Harry Wood with Foundational Faith Ministries. We're coming to you today with a passage of Scripture out of Psalms 119. I'd like to look at this passage of Scripture, not all the verses today. We will comment on all the chapter itself in some capacity. But let's look at the first eight verses and read them. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. When I have respect unto all thy commandments, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Now, when I look at this passage of Scripture, just the whole chapter in general, there's 176 verses of this particular chapter of the book of Psalms. Now, the reason we have picked this particular chapter to highlight is because not only is it the longest chapter in our Bible, but this particular chapter, every verse deals with the fact of the Word of God. Now, we'll talk more about that as we go. Our plans is we may do some more episodes, and we will look at each eight portions. There's eight verses in each portion, and there's 22 divisions. Now, those 22 divisions gives us a rendering back to the Hebrew alphabet. So with that in mind, it's important that each passage of Scripture is dealing with the Word of God itself, speaking of the Word of God. Now, with that said, I like to bring it back to the thought of prayer also. As I look at these first eight verses, I look at it as a foundation for us to begin to build upon with that of using the 119th Psalm as, we could say, a prayer book. Actually praying the Scriptures or looking at the Scriptures so that we can pray in reference to those passages of Scriptures, which I'm going to say this, that I think it's good that we consider the Bible in general, Scriptures, praying them to God and standing on the Word of God, what God said. And I know we've said that before. But as I look at this passage of Scripture, these first eight verses, which deals with the first letter of the alphabet in the Hebrew, and there was 22 original letters, establishing a foundation, a beginning of how we can even consider praying and it being upon the Word of God. Now, two times in these eight verses, it uses the word blessed. And here we understand that it's someone that's fortunate, someone that's happy. It is a condition that we are brought to because of results. And when I look at this, it tells us those that are undefiled, those that are clean, those that have not that are not walking deliberately in sin or living in sin. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, this establishes that we are looking at the Word of God. We're living by the Word of God. We're seeking to live by the Word of God. Now, as I said, these first eight verses, I believe they're a foundation for us to look at of how we can pray or what should be the construction of our prayer or even where our relationship is with the fact of praying. Now, first of all, we understand that the law, which is the Word of God, all these different terminologies that's used by the psalmist, the word law, and we'll go into more of these commandments and the word itself, testimony, and right now I'm going to leave some out, but we'll talk about each one in the passage of Scripture. Now, in this passage of Scripture, verse 8, 1 through 8, it calls it the law of the Lord. It calls it the testimonies of the Lord in verse number 2. And then the statutes is mentioned in verse number 6. And then commandments is used again, and statutes is used again in verse number 8. Now, if I haven't missed one, we can see that each one of these tie in with it talking about the Word of God. Now, we don't have words unless we have symbols or we have an alphabet. I think that's kind of interesting. The alphabet is being exposed here through this passage of Scripture. Now, let's go back to the thoughts of the 119th Psalm being a prayer book. Well, as we approach prayer, we also should always approach prayer with that of being one that is coming in relationship in that time of prayer, agreeing, lining up with the Word of God. Because it says, who walk in the law of the Lord. This will give us a structure to pray when we can come knowing what God said about it and speaking what God said about it. And also our relationship is developed through the Word of God. We're cleansed by the Word and the washing of the water of the Word. And so therefore, blessed are those that are undefiled in the way. Now, as we go on, it tells us that we're to keep those testimonies. And a lot of us, we know the Scriptures. Some of us as believers, where our real issue is with our prayer life or life in general, is do we keep what His testimonies say? It says that we will be happy, we will be fortunate if we keep His testimonies and seek Him. Well, even the New Testament tells us that we're to seek the Lord first, and these things shall be added unto us. So we find here, blessed are they that keep the testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Our heart is right. Our desire is to come in the right perspective to the Lord. Then verse number 3, they also do no iniquity. Now this is talking about that we're not practicing sin. We're not living in open sin. That's not saying that we will not sin. It doesn't say that we would never sin after we've become a believer. But thank God that 1 John 1:9 is in the book. It says, if we confess our sins, that He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. But we're not to be living, practicing in sin, being in that of defilement. And so therefore, in a perspective of prayer, we can come and realize they also do no iniquity. It says they walk in His ways. So our prayer life should be a walk. It should be one that is walking in the righteousness of God, walking toward God to stay righteous. And so therefore, we can make the declaration. That's why we can say it's a foundation, these first 8 verses, that we are not one that is practicing. We are one that is saying they also do no iniquity. We're not practicing in open sin, and we're walking in His ways. Then verse number 4, I believe, is a prayer within itself. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. So we see that God has gave us a direction that we're to keep His commands. He's commanded us to keep His precepts diligently. We're to be about it in a way that we're attentive. Then we see in verse number 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. And here again, I really see that we can understand that this is foundational and lines up even with the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer, really, in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, how that it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those that sin against us. It tells us, or the Scriptures there says, lead us not into temptation. So we actually are seeing, oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. So we're seeing where in true prayer, we're seeking God. We're wanting God to give us that direction, keep that direction in mind that we'll keep His statutes. Verse number 6, then shall I not be ashamed. Listen, when we are in the righteousness of God, there is no shame. There is no shame. Sin shames. Failure shames. But then shall I not be ashamed. Listen, we're not to be living in a life of that of being shamed or embarrassed. And really, we need to think of it in this concept that we're not embarrassing the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not bringing any kind of reproach on the Lord, because the way we live, if we fail deliberately, we are really bringing a reproach upon the Lord Jesus and even the work that he has done to atone us. We see here, verse 7, it says, well, let's look back at verse 6 again. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. You know, that is a big clause there. I think that's one of the major issues of life is respect. I have worked with adolescents. I have worked with young people. And many times I have started a school year off and I have made the statement, we're going to respect one another. But we're not going to respect nobody if we don't respect ourselves. And that means that we have come to a decision. There is things that we must do that's going to appropriate us to be a person that is a person of respect. Even the way we carry, or our mannerisms, our life, our walk, our relationship with God. And we do want to bring respect to God. But as we see this, it says, when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Do we really respect God's commandments? And this is talking about obeying his word. You know, many times, and I've been guilty, and the Lord's had to speak to me about it, and I'm dealing with some things, even right now, wanting to make sure that I'm listening to the voice of the Lord and being obedient. Because, you know, it's easy for us to say, well, I'm trusting God because God said such and such, and I'm believing God for the promise. But if there's a prefix to that of what we are supposed to do, we're going to be accountable for being obedient. And if we don't receive of what God's promise was, more than likely it's going to be, well, not more than likely, it is going to be because we failed to obey or we did not respect God's law. Respect is very important, how we approach things with respect and honor. And as we look at verse number 7, we always know that prayer should be foundational upon God's word. It ought to be recognizing who we're praying to and what our relationship is with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. But also, prayer is a time of worship. It's a time of worship also. And verse number 7 says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Now, excuse me, let me just go ahead and say this. The latter part gives us an understanding that we are in a continuance of that of applying ourselves to learn. When we become unteachable, we actually become unglued to being recipients of what God wants for us. He says, when I have learned thy righteous judgments. But the psalmist here says in the first part of this, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I have learned thy righteous judgments. So we ought to be worshipers, and we're constantly giving him praise in the right place of observance and worship in the fact of how we continue to learn to hear and to walk and to keep his word. And the word judgments is there. That's another term that's used in these passages of scripture for the word itself. And then verse number 8, before we find a place to close, it says, I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Now, this is a prayer of commitment, but also a prayer of trust. It's a prayer that we are committing ourselves that we will keep his statutes. And we are trusting Oh, forsake me not utterly. We're making that petition not to forsake us, but as we keep his statutes, we're never, ever going to see the Lord forsake us. And really, to be honest with you, God is so faithful. He is so good. Because I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture in the New Testament that I believe it's in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. He commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Aren't you thankful today that there are those times that have been and maybe has or does happen that really, if we really was honest, do we really deserve God's mercy or grace or God's favor? But because of his love, he does not want to utterly forsake us. And really, to be honest with you, with the completion and the consummation of everything that God's done for us to redeem us and to keep us in relationship, he has not failed us. He has never failed us, and he never will. It is based upon what our commitment. And I think that's good that this part of this passage of Scripture in the first 8 verses, even in that last verse, is where we need to, even in prayer, keep focused that we are going to stay committed. We're going to stay committed to his word. We're going to stay committed to what the truth of his word is, in that of our receiving of teaching, that of doctrine, how we're going to conduct our lives in that of a practical and a righteous way, and how that we're going to respect his word. And with respect, we're expecting God's word to be carried out for our benefit. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God today. I thank you that the word is everlasting. I thank you today the word gives us instruction. And Father, today we want to just ask that these simple principles that we have laid out today of how that your word is your testimony, keep his testimony. Lord, that your word today is that that keeps us from iniquity, keeps us walking right. Lord, we thank you for the commandments. We thank you for the statutes. Lord, we thank you for these things that allow us to be able to call upon the name of the Lord today. And Lord, I'm praying today that something that's been said has spoken to the hearer today. And Lord, we stand upon what your word says, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, I'm just trusting you right now that somebody has received in their very spirit right now, Lord, the hunger and desire to accept you as their Savior. They're calling out to you right now, because your word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm believing right now that some believer is trusting you for their healing, their salvation, their deliverance, God. Lord, I want to thank you that you're our help in the time of need. You're closer than a brother. And today we just rejoice. We give praise for what you have done and what you are doing. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that you've received something from this today. How that Psalms 119 is a foundation of how we can reflect on prayer in our life. God bless you till the next episode, and we'll be talking to you soon.